You're listening to audio from North Monroe Baptist Church. To find out more about the church or donate to this ministry, visit northmonroe.com.
Such a joy to be back with you guys, and you know, just you're my family. I really appreciate you. We had a hard week last week. My oldest brother passed away, and I did the funeral yesterday over in Denison, Texas. He had been sick for a while. He knows the Lord, so we're grateful for that. It's just kind of a hard time, you know, because when you're a little brother, you kind of I've still got an older brother. We were actually just 3 years apart, the three of us. So we were sophomore, junior, and senior in high school. So Mom had to go into a lot of therapy because of that. But anyway, we were pretty tight coming up, and he's with the Lord. We're grateful for that. But thanks for all your prayers. We don't need anything, but it's just good to be back with y'all this morning. Let's take the Bible and go to Matthew chapter 7. Jesus wrapping up the Sermon on the Mount. I called this inverted because the principles of this sermon that Jesus delivers there in Galilee are so counterintuitive, especially that introductory part of the Beatitudes. But really the whole way through, he's teaching stuff that runs really the opposite of what we would naturally expect to do. And in this last part, he really is beginning to focus down and really kind of wants to leave his crowd with these basic ideas of what produces robust, strong faith. Robust, strong faith. And he does it through four little couplets. He uses those couplets as a comparison, contrast. Here's something's right, here's something's wrong. And I got to tell you, living in this gray fog of, you know, multiple choice society, it's really nice to deal with right and wrong. And Jesus gives us four little, you know, ideas that are related to right and wrong that really serve as a, I think, a good platform to ask four important questions to help us understand where we are in terms of the integrity of our faith. And so the first question that comes to me is emerging out of this text, Matthew 7, verse 13, is, what path are you on? You see, Jesus describes two paths. Verse 13, he says, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. Verse 14, for the gate is small, the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are a few who find it. So we've got two paths. And there are three things about these two paths. They both have a gate. They both have a girth, and they both have a group. One way is the wide gate, and the gate is wide because it's basically massive. You can enter the broad way from virtually anywhere. It doesn't really matter what you believe. You can believe anything, and you can get on this path. And listen, this is really the path that's promoted in our popular culture, is it doesn't matter what you believe. You don't even have to believe anything. Everybody's sort of collectively together on this path, and so there is no gate. It's just a broad gate. There's another path that's a very narrow gate. In fact, this gate is so narrow, it is so limiting that it's only the width of a single person's shoulders. And that single person is Jesus. And there is no other way to get on this path except through Jesus. He said what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. What did he say? Nobody, no man comes to the Father except through me. So this thing's only as wide as Jesus, or maybe we could say it's only as wide as the cross. And the only way onto this path is through Jesus. One way is broad. And you know what that means is it's easy. There are no rules. You don't have to believe anything. It's got a broad gate, a wide gate. It's broad. That means there are no rules. So basically, do whatever you want to do. And isn't that the mantra of the modern times? Every man can do whatever seems pleasurable, whatever seems right in your eyes. If it feels good, do it, as long as it doesn't hurt someone else. And that's really, that as long as it doesn't hurt someone else is really the only rule of our modern society. And then they're beginning to really narrow that down as to what hurts other people. And funny thing is, it's becoming increasingly sort of narrow in that regard. But Jesus says the other way is narrow, and that is that there is a right way to live, and there's a wrong way to live. And there are principles and precepts and commands that help us to understand that we walk a certain direction and a certain path, and when we veer from that, we're not still on the same path, but we have run off the path. And so it's narrow in that regard. One way has a large group, means everybody does it. One has a small group. But there's one more distinction. These two paths have very different destinations. Notice, he said the broad way leads to death and the narrow way leads to life. Now, here's the interesting thing for me, and I thought about this a lot. Why do so many people get on a path that they know leads to destruction? I mean, because they know it leads to destruction. When you talk to them, you say, how's it going in life? Man, I got to get some things right. Especially if they know you're a pastor. Pastor, I gotta get some stuff right. Man, I need to work on this. I need to do that. Because they know intuitively, I've got this addiction that I can't get on top of. I've got this compulsion that is driving my life. And I can see the end result is not, this thing's not going to end well. I know I shouldn't be here. And yet they're there anyway. And so you ask yourself, why are so many people on the Broadway? And I thought about that, and I think it's this, because the gate is wide. That means it's easy to get through. And we usually pick the path of least resistance. So we tend to do what's easiest. The way is broad. That means I've got lots of options. And we usually pick the path that has the most freedom. But here's the main thing. The group is large. And at the end of the day, it comes down to this. People are attracted to crowds. I don't know why. I'm not one of those guys. But some people, we all are collectively influenced and immersed in the group, and we want to be associated, affiliated, and blend in to that group. And so because of that human intuition, it's a large crowd. There's something in us that wants to fit in. They used to have this old show, black and white, grainy TV. One of the few interesting shows when I was a kid called Candid Camera. You ever hear of it? There was a guy named Alan Funk that did it, and he was an astute student of human nature. And he used to like to mess around a lot with the human tendency to follow the crowd. Scene one, a man walks into the waiting room of a doctor's office. He looks around and is surprised by what he sees. Everyone is in his or her underwear. People are drinking coffee in their underwear. They're reading magazines in their underwear. They're carrying on conversations in their underwear. He's shocked at first, but then he decides they must know something that I don't know. And after about 20 seconds, the guy pulls off his clothes and sits down in his underwear because everybody else was. Scene two. A woman waits patiently for an elevator in an office building. After a short period, the elevator arrives, the doors open. As she looks in, she notices that everybody is turned around facing the rear of the elevator. So she too gets into the elevator and faces the rear. I know what you're thinking. There's no way I would do that, right? Well, let me just say this. Crocs are back in style. I'm just saying. And teenage girls are wearing them. You say you would never do that? Look, I'm all for it. I mean, I've been a croc wearer forever. My boys have given me massive grief and have insisted that I not go out in public in my crocs. But if you wait long enough, it's going to come back around. I'm telling you, the same little stitched up downfield jackets that were popular in the 80s that look like life preservers, they're back. And I love that, you know. Everybody's got them. I'm going to get one. But there is this human tendency toward that, you know, and when it comes to fashion, that's awesome. That's fine. Let's all do that. I'm all for Crocs, by the way. But when it comes to life and life choices, we need to be a little bit more discriminating. Because here's the problem. The Broadway leads to destruction. And It's an emotional destruction. It's a relational destruction. It's even a physical destruction. I mean, I see people that live that hard life and they age badly. But more than anything, it's a spiritual destruction. Proverbs 14:12, there's a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Jesus said, you got the narrow way, you got the broad way. Here's the question. What path are you on? You know, what path are you on? Second question, who are you listening to? Jesus says there's two kinds of influencers. There are false influencers and there are true influencers. Look at verse 5. Beware of false prophets. Now, the word prophet is prophetes, and it doesn't mean someone who tells the future. It means someone who delivers the truth. So he says, there are false prophets who pretend to deliver the truth, who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. And so, you know, the Old Testament, New Testament term might be prophet. Maybe today's term would be influencers. Okay? And it says here that there are influencers who come in sheep's clothing. What does that mean? Well, who are we? We're sheep, right? And so what they're coming as is disguised as sheep. So they've got the sheep skin on. They've got the smell of sheep. Everything about them tells us that they're safe and that they can be listened to because they are just like us. But Jesus says they're not sheep. They're the opposite of sheep. They're ravenous wolves. And they didn't come to feed the sheep. They came to eat the sheep. And you know what's interesting to me today? I wonder sometimes today if they even need the sheepskin anymore, because it seems to me that we have become increasingly attracted to the wolves. They don't even have to pretend to be good anymore because so many are now attracted to the bad. And so they don't even try to play it off as this is a healthy life. They just come right at you. And we've got all these voices in our world right now giving us their version of truth. And so the question is, when you back up, how do I know? Because a wolf in sheep's clothing, unfortunately, sadly, seems to look a whole lot like a sheep. He gives us the answer, verse 16. He says, you'll know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every tree that bears good fruit, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. You got it? Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire, so then you will know them by their fruits. You know them by their fruit. If I've got a tree in my yard that's got apples on it, I know it's not a cherry tree, right? Because here's the thing. The fruit tells you what's happening in the root. If you got bad fruit, you got a bad root. The fruit tells you about the root. I was listening to a horticultural show in Houston, Texas years ago, and I'm driving along, and this guy had an orange tree in his backyard, and it used to produce oranges. And then it froze back. And he called in on the show. He said, I'm flabbergasted. I don't know what to do. He said, my orange tree is now producing lemons. How in the world did that happen? And the guy said, well, that's understandable. I'm like, I want to hear that. And he said, every citrus tree in Texas is grafted into a rootstock of the lemon tree. And he said, what happened was your graft, the orange part, died, and the natural root, the lemon root, came up, and now you've got a lemon tree. If you want to know what's happening in the root, look at the fruit. You'll know them by their fruit. And listen, in the Bible, fruit represented two things. It represented character, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, those things. So it's the integrity, it's the character, it's what's going on in my life. But it was more than that. It also represented evangelism. In other words, it was what you were producing in the lives of other people. And that's important because, you know, a lot of times with the modern day sirens and the influences of our world, we really don't know and we don't get close enough to them to see if there's any fruit in their character, but we can still look at the fruit of their influence. You know, the Bible says, if you abide in me, you bear much fruit. So it's not just what you're building into your life, it's what you're building in the lives of those around you. And so fruit is not just the produce, but it's also the product. You got that? And if you want to know whether an influencer is legit or not, then look not only at their produce, but at their product, what's happening in their life and what's happening in the lives of those who listen to them. Because listen, there are basically two kinds of influencers. There's two kinds of teachers, those that don't use the Bible and those that do. Now, some of the false teachers, they won't use the Bible. And what they're going to do, and the reason they don't use the Bible is they just want to tell you what you want to hear, and they don't want to be under the constraints of the weight of the Scripture, and they don't want to have to monkey with all that. So they're going to get up, and they're going to, if they do use the Bible, it's a light dusting. They're going to kind of dance across some various places. Because at the end of the day, they really want to just tell you what you want to hear. And listen, most people want to be told what they want to hear. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers. Look at this. They'll look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. Now, they may or may not be believers. Sometimes they're believers and they don't use the Bible, but oftentimes they're internet influencers or macro influencers or micro influencers or whatever you want to call it, and they're influencing people. And the teaching that they're delivering is the teaching that you want to hear. You want to be rich? Then listen to what I say. You want to be beautiful? Then listen to what I say or look at what I do, that kind of stuff. And they're not going to use the Bible. But here's what you want to do. You want to look at what's going on in the lives of the people that are listening to them, okay? This influencer is not going to call you to God's higher purpose. They're not going to call you to yield to the sovereignty of God. They're not going to build into your life the righteousness of Christ, because they're not the least bit concerned about that. And as a result, they're going to produce bad fruit. So there are some who won't use the Bible. Listen, some false teachers will misuse the Bible. And this happens a lot too. We don't talk about this side as much, but they're going to get this twisted sort of angry version of the Scripture, and they're going to try to meld some sense of personal performance in with grace, and they're going to turn it into, and here's what they're going to do. They're going to spend all of their time talking about judgment, guilt, shame, and all those things. Now look, judgment's in the Scripture. No question about that. But if we're under grace, we have passed from judgment into life. What did Jesus say? What did he say about truth? Here's what you know when real truth is being proclaimed. You shall know the truth. And what does the truth do? Set you free. Well, if you're listening to a person who is pouring condemnation and shame and guilt and legalism and judgmentalism and all that other junk into your life, and it produces in the lives of the followers this sort of angry, hard-edged, bitter, judgmental faith, then even though they're using the Bible, they're misusing the Bible, and they're not preaching the whole counsel of God, and the result is bad fruit. Know them by their fruit. Listen to teachers that bear the fruit of righteousness in their own lives and produce the fruit of righteousness in the lives of other people. You don't know what's happening to your influencer, then look at the fruit. The third question, what are you trusting in? Jesus implies that here that there are two things to trust in. You can either trust in yourself or you can trust in grace in Christ. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Wow, that's scary. But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, and underline that, circle that, on that day. That's important, okay, on that day. Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Now look at this. This is the scary part. I'll declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now for me, the key is on that day, see. You say, what day? Well, judgment day. Look, New Living translates it this way. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord. And for me, that changes things, you know, because people on judgment day are under intense pressure. And when you're under intense pressure, under judgment, you may or may not tell the truth. So we don't know if what they're saying did or did not happen, because it's judgment day. It's kind of like being pulled over by a highway patrolman. And you're trying to give him reasons why he needs to give you a warning instead of a ticket. And you may or may not be telling the truth. Just saying. I've always wanted to just sit down with a highway patrolman. Scott, you and I need to get together sometime. Let me take a legal pad. I just want to hear your 10 best. You know, your 10 best excuses. One of the best I ever heard was on Johnny Carson. He said a guy got pulled over by a policeman. And as the policeman walked up to the car, he looked up at the policeman. He said, "Officer, how dare you pull me over when I'm carrying the present?" And he looks back and he goes, "Oh no, somebody has stolen the president of the United States." There's one, this preacher, wayward preacher, was driving kind of in and out of the stripes, you know, and officer comes up behind him, pulls him over, and he says, "Sir, I noticed that, you know, you're crossing some lines there. Have you been drinking?" And the guy behind the wheel says, "I will have you know that I am a pastor. I am a man of God. How dare you imply that I've been drinking?" And the police officer says, "Well, what's in that bottle next to you there?" He said, "Bottle? What bottle?" "That bottle right there." He looks at it and he goes, "Water?" He says, "Let me see it." He hands it to him. The officer smells it, takes a sip and says, "Pastor, that's not water, that's wine." And the pastor said, "Hallelujah, he done it again." I don't know if you've heard that before, but it's worth hearing again. That's a good one. When we're under pressure, we may or may not tell the truth. And these guys are saying, "Hey, look at all this stuff we did." You see, at Judgment Day, there's all sorts of excuses, and most of them will be on works. "Look what we did." And they may or may not be truthful. It really doesn't matter because they're trusting the wrong thing. They're trusting their performance. "Look at all this stuff we did." And what did Jesus say? "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity." Why? "For I knew you not." It's not about trusting your performance. It's not what you did. It's who you know, right? So can I ask you something? What are you trusting? Trying to earn your way to God's favor? Last question. How's your foundation? Jesus said there's two kinds of foundations. He said, "Anyone listening to my teaching, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it," underline those words, "listens and follows, is wise. It's like a person who builds a house on a rock." See, there's two kinds of foundations he's going to talk about. Look, there's a foundation on the rock. And he says, "Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against the house, it won't collapse because it's built on bedrock." Now look, here's the other kind. "But if anyone who hears my teaching," now look, same people heard his teaching, "and doesn't obey, it's foolish. It's like a person who builds a house on sand. And when the rains and floods come and the winds beat against the house, it will collapse with a mighty crash." Again, you feel the comparison couplet. Your life's either going to have a strong foundation or a weak foundation. And your foundation really depends on what you do with the Word of God. He says, "Listens to my teaching and follows." You got that? There's another place Jesus said almost the same thing. In John chapter 8, he says, so Jesus was saying to those Jews who believed in him. Notice they're believing in him. Now, there's two kinds of belief. There's easy believism, where it's basically, I nod my head in agreement. Hey, this guy is saying some cool stuff. I agree with that guy. Yeah, yeah. Get him, Jesus. Go, Jesus. Right? But then he says he said to those Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue," and that word is meno, it means to remain or abide. "If you continue in my word," it means to pitch your tent and dwell there. "If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine," as opposed to false disciples. And look at the outcome. "Then, only then, will you know the truth, and that truth that you know will set you free." In other words, if you don't abide in the word, then there's no foundation of faith. Now look, you may know Jesus, but if you haven't built your life and staked your life on the Word of God, then your house is sitting on sand. And you may know the Lord. And when you die, you may find heaven in eternity. But when the storms come, your house is going to get rocked because you don't have the foundation to stand. You may have faith, but it's not strong faith. It's just like this storm that we saw on the Bolivar Peninsula. The Bolivar Peninsula is a strip of sand that runs from High Island in Texas, and the end of it sort of ends in a point just away from Galveston Island. There's a separation of water, an inlet of water that runs into Galveston Bay. They call it Bolivar Roads. And right there on the end of Bolivar Peninsula, there's an old lighthouse. It's the Bolivar Lighthouse. And it goes back up to High Island. It's kind of like Perdido Key. On the back side, there's a bay. On the other side, there's an ocean. But it's not an island because it connects to the mainland. The highest point on this little strip is 10 feet. And over the years, Texans have built beach cabins there up on stilts, you know, all through it. You've got Crystal Beach, you've got a rollover, you've got all these little towns on Bolivar, kind of a redneck Riviera down there. In 2008, Category 4 hurricane, nobody really heard about, called Ike, came through there. Ike was carrying 145 mile an hour winds and 20 foot storm surge, and 10 feet of water went over Bolivar Peninsula. Nobody knows about it because we were still talking about Katrina. And all of those beach cabins on Bolivar were wiped away. It was like a razor blade had gone across them. And here's a good picture. That water there is called rollover. It's kind of an inlet pass between Bolivar but I don't know if you can see it, but just above that strip of water where the broken bridge is, maybe you can see a house. See that house? Let me get a better picture. Here it is. Come up. Look at that. All those other foundations, that's where houses used to be. That house went through the same storm as all the other houses. But it's still there and they're gone. What's the difference? It's the foundation, right? Now, this is exactly what Jesus said. If that house were faith, that's the kind of faith Jesus wants you to have. And you're only going to get that kind of faith if you build your life on the Word of God. There's no other way. So the question is, how strong is your faith? Let me ask you four questions. What path are you on? Broadway, narrow way. Broadway leads to destruction. Narrow way leads to life. Who are you listening to? False prophets? True prophets. You'll know them by their fruit. What are you trusting in? What you do or who you know? My brother died at 62 years old yesterday. He died Wednesday, but I did his funeral yesterday morning. And I didn't care what he knew. I didn't care what he did. I didn't care what he had. The only thing that mattered to me in that moment was who he knew. And he knew Jesus. How's your foundation? You may know Jesus, but man, your house is sitting on a sand berm. Storm's going to wipe you out. Maybe it already has. You know, you can change that right now. Wouldn't it be so appropriate if right now we just made some basic commitments about how our faith is going to be? We're about to do the Lord's Supper. And always when we do the Lord's Supper, we always talk about what it meant from Jesus' perspective. Today I want to flip that upside down a little bit. We're going to do the Lord's Supper. I want to do it from the perspective of what you're bringing to it. Because here's what the Word says. Whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and blood of Jesus. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing, He is to eat the bread and drink the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself if he does not judge the body rightly. Wow, scary stuff, isn't it? So before we come here, we got to go here. You ready to do that? Let's just pray together and let's make some basic commitments. What path are you on? Here's your commitment. God, I want to be on the right path. I'm going to enter through the narrow gate. If you don't know Jesus right now, you just need to embrace faith and just, God, best I know how, I give my life to you. I'm tired of this Broadway. And God, I'm going to listen to you through teachers who are proclaiming truth. I'm not going to accumulate guys who are just going to tickle my ears. I want to hear from you. And to do that, I'm going to examine the fruit. And Father, I'm not going to trust in my performance. I'm not going to try to earn your favor by some means of legalism. But God, I want to know Jesus and I want to know him crucified. And Father, because of all of that, I'm going to take this word and I'm not just going to hear it. But I'm going to dwell in it and I'm going to apply it. I'm going to stake my life on it. Father, we make that commitment to you this morning. Search us and know our heart. God, through your Spirit, sweep through our lives right now and build in us a faith that is robust, healthy, strong. And we are so grateful that you've given us your truth so that we would know how to do that. And we thank you in Jesus' name.